Hello, it's Monday, May 23rd, and you are listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. I am your host, Chris, and this is show number 6. Please remember to check out our website, www.dreamstation.cc, for video game news, RSS feeds, and subscription to the podcast. You can send questions, comments, and suggestions to our email address, videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. Let's introduce the panel of guys we have with us today. We have Keith.
Hello.
Ivan.
Hello.
And Bob.
Good evening.
Today we are going to talk about Sony's EverQuest goods sales. We have an update. The poll results from last week. We're going to go into a little bit more detail on the PlayStation 3, the Xbox 360, the Nintendo Revolution, Nintendo's Game Boy Micro, the Nokia N-Gage, and a review of the iToy for the PlayStation 2.
Next topic.
Jumping right into the first issue, we have some housekeeping to take care of. First, I'd like to ask if you enjoy the podcast, please vote for us at podcastalley.com. You can find us under video games or dreamstation.cc. Either of those will work in the search window. The show last week was uploaded today, Monday. We apologize that it was late. Our webmaster was actually out at E3, and he was running rampant, talking to a lot of different companies. He actually didn't get a chance until just today to upload the show, so we apologize for that. While we're talking about E3, there will be E3 photos going up on the site from some of the guys on our staff that were at E3. Those will be going up probably by the time you hear this, they'll be online. One of the other things is we have to make a correction. In our Nintendo DS wireless last week, we talked about the fact that Nintendo had Bluetooth and didn't actually have a real full-blown network support inside of it. We were wrong. It's actually got 802.11, and it also acts as a repeater hub in addition to supporting wireless. So we screwed up. Sorry. We were just discussing before this show started, as Ivan pointed out, I don't think any games have taken advantage of it, and one of the main reasons we screwed that up is because the PictoChat was not online and it only went, 60 feet or something. So, again, we apologize for that.
Next topic.
Jumping into our first actual topic, we have an update on the Sony EverQuest 2 goods sales. Some information was revealed. It's going to cost $1 to list items and in-game cash, and it will cost $10 to list characters for sale for EverQuest 2. There are special servers that will have it enabled, but there are special servers that are set up from the general population. Sony will get, in addition to the $1 to list items in cash and $10 to list characters on their auction site, they will take 10% off the top of the final sale price.
What's an EverQuest good?
EverQuest goods would be like weapons, armor.
Oh, goods. I thought you said just good with no S on it. Like it was a new edition of EverQuest that didn't suck. Wow, that's literal.
Because it is struggling with trying to compete against World of Warcraft, is listening to their community. And a lot of the forum topics and feedback they're actually doing something about. And they're almost as good as City of Heroes in the way that they communicate to their players. Now, this is from one of the guys at work was telling me. Warcraft, as you guys know, they don't really get too in-depth on what they're going to be looking at in the next coming patch. City of Heroes does a really good job of just keeping the community informed. I mean, you have patches that are 2-3 out. From what I understand, EverQuest and Sony are doing kind of the same thing, which is cool. It's always frustrating as a player to not have the info, and then you get nerfed and you didn't have any knowledge of it. So.
Next topic.
The poll results from last week's poll, we had asked a question about microtransactions on the Xbox 360 and if people were excited about it or not. We had 8 votes. 2 guys said yes, they were excited about it. 5 of them said no, we are not excited about it. And 1 of them said that this will ruin gaming as we know it. So adding all that stuff up, 75% of the people don't like the idea. Some of the comments from the forum topic was that Chrono Trigger said he's very excited about it and he would gladly pay $10 or more to get something unique for his characters in the game. Sunfire66 said that we're opening up a can of worms. If this happens and it takes off, it's just going to give game companies more of an excuse to start charging for every little thing. Redeema had first said he didn't really like it. He wanted him to base it off something other than money. Maybe your reputation in the game or how much playtime you've put into the game. He was one of the guys who went to E3. Based on what he saw at E3, he changed his mind. The way he described it to us was basically you can create in-game content and then you can sell that in-game content to other players. So if I wanted to make a shirt with my logo on it, of my guild, let's say, and then I wanted all my guild members to buy it for $1, then I would get the money. Now, I don't know if Microsoft gets a cut based on listings or what, or, you know, the other point that was brought up was that if, Keith, if you take my logo and you change the color and you sell it now and people like yours better than mine, are you stealing business from me, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know how that's going to work.
I've ranted all I've wanted to rant on how much I despise the entire concept of this.
One thing I will say in response to the fact that he would gladly pay $10 to make himself unique was that, I mean, I don't think this is going to be something that's unique. I think everyone's going to have the opportunity that if they want to buy it, they can. So you'll be unique just like everybody else. And we've talked about this. We kind of have hashed it to death, and that all the money that we're paying for all these subscriptions for all these different services, and it adds up. I'm not really excited about the idea that for an extra dollar here or 50 cents there or whatever, you know, they're going to nickel and dime you for all this different cool-looking stuff that maybe they purposely leave it out of the game.
As long as people are willing to pay for it, they're going to do it.
The poll topic for next week, I'm going to post it on the forums later this afternoon. If you could buy one and only one, you get an Xbox 360, a PlayStation 3, or a Nintendo Revolution. We'll discuss the comments and the feedback and the results of the poll in next week's show.
Next topic.
Sony is going to supposedly launch the PlayStation 3 in spring of 2006. Now, normally Sony launches things in Japan first. They haven't actually decided what region they're going to use as the first launch. Maybe they're waiting on Microsoft. I think Microsoft is going to do a worldwide simultaneous launch. I don't think Sony has ever done that with any of their products. I might be wrong, but again, supposedly, the PlayStation 3 will have double the processing power of the Xbox 360, which, if that's true, that's pretty impressive, because the Xbox 360 specs we kind of talked about last week, and they were pretty beefy.
Does that mean the PlayStation 3 is going to have six processors?
The Xbox has one processor with three cores in it. The PlayStation 3 is going to use some cell technology that's supposed to be so much more raw power than everything else on the market at all.
Flop is a floating point operation that's usually used as a basis. That's why they're saying it's used as a benchmark for processors.
Then the Xbox 360, looking at the official Xbox site, its system floating point performance is 1 teraflop. The PlayStation specs is 2 teraflops. That's where they get the twice as good then. It's going to use Blu-ray discs. Blu-ray discs are not the industry standard. There's a whole big fight that we're not going to get into right now, trying to figure out what the next gen will be. We'll be fully backwards compatible with all PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 games, which is sounds kind of cool, but in reality, I think I've played a PlayStation 1 game on my PS2 maybe 3 times and said, yeah, this really sucks. It's got 1080p high-definition output, and it could support 2 high-definition monitors. I think they're overshooting what the actual consumers are going to have in their house. A high-def TV isn't really standard yet. High-def TVs that can support 1080p, which is progressive scan, definitely isn't the norm. And having 2 of them? Well, I think you're just in fairyland now.
Something you're going to see on Cribs, that'd be about it.
It's possible that by spring 2006, they'll be making high-def TVs that are small enough to be portable without being a pain. And potentially what that means is if 2 people have 2 small high-def TVs, but only 1 person has a console, you could bring your TV over, plug it into the console, and do multiplayer games with 2 TVs, but only 1 console.
Console lifespan is what, maybe 4 or 5 years? So 4 or 5 years from next year, we're looking at, you know, 2011. Maybe shooting high like this, it'll be the norm by then. I don't know. We're going to have 512 megs of total RAM. 256 of it is fast. 256 is slow. The slow is 700 megahertz. Fast was running at 3.2.
What's the difference between fast and slow?
Well, you're talking about the access speed to main memory, Keith. So when you're trying to retrieve part of the program that's already been loaded, when it goes to main memory, usually it can only retrieve it at 700 megahertz. That's the slow memory. They're saying this thing is going to be able to access the fast memory at the same speed the processor is running at. So you're going to get a marked increase in performance when it has to, like, go back and load a texture or whatever.
A little more in English is just your processor runs at super fast speed, let's just say it like that. Now, normally you're restricted by your memory. You got to pump all this stuff through your memory, so you're waiting on your memory constantly. Like, half of the memory is allocated just to be fast, just to run right at the same speed the processor is at. Getting borderline too techy for anyone to really care, but the point I'm making is it's faster than the Xbox. It will have a hard drive in it. It does support all kinds of different memory input. It can support the Duo, which is what the PlayStation Portable uses, Compact Flash, SD, maybe 1 or 2 others. So basically, they made it a point to say, whatever kind of memory you got, you can slap it in here and we can save stuff on it. That's kind of cool because I just spent $150 on a gig of RAM for my PlayStation Portable. I can use that same memory in my PlayStation 3. We'll have some sort of online, kind of like an Xbox Live. They haven't really gone into the details, but they saw that Xbox did a good thing with the Xbox Live, so they're going to kind of do something similar. The console itself, it's curved at the top, which sucks because I always throw my games on top of it. You can't. They're going to slide off.
I really don't care what it looks like, to tell you I'm speaking the truth.
No, and I don't really care what it looks like, but just stuff like that. I want a friggin' flat top so I can put something on it and not have to worry about it falling down.
It's just like changeable face plates for the new Xbox. That maybe let's spend a little more time on the actual device than the aesthetics. What? I could care less if it's just a freaking brick, you know, if it does all kinds of cool shit. Do I really care that it has a curvy top?
It was a theme that was pretty prevalent all around, is that they're trying to appeal to non-gamers. You know, the girlfriends and the wives walk in, they don't want to see yet another piece of electronic equipment in the living room. The rumor is that the price of this thing is going to be $400 to $500. Now, again, this is just a rumor. I have a really hard time thinking that anything over around $350... and you're getting into, people are going to complain about and may not purchase it. I mean, $300 for a console was a little hard to swallow 3 years ago when the PlayStation and the Xbox debuted. I mean, if you're trying to get the girlfriends and the wives, and I tell my wife I'm going to go buy a $500 piece of hardware, and then I need to buy three extra controllers, two AV cable things to run to the back, and then two games, and it's going to cost me $800-$900 now. She isn't going to like the way it looks. It's not going to make up for the fact that I'm spending $800. And then I know you guys saw some of the videos that were floating around and they were on TV and in the press. Some of these movies that were being rendered that are supposed to be running on the PlayStation 3 were pretty amazing looking. Killzone 2 in particular. One thing I will say is I think that's bullcrap. I think that all that stuff's pre-rendered CG. There's no way that that could be running live. It looks too good. And secondly, there isn't any hardware to run it on. It's all running on something else that's supposed to be emulating. If games look half as good as those cool movies look, I'll just quit my job and play video games all day.
Next topic.
Xbox 360. We had kind of hoped that they would have backwards compatibility. They will. The problem is, it's selective backwards compatibility. The guy doing the presentation said something to the effect of, you will be able to play all of your current greatest hits that are on the Xbox 360. The speculation there is, of course, you get Halo and Halo 2 maybe, and who knows what else. So some of our games that we like to play may not be on there. The hardware is so different that they can't really just throw the disc in and go for it. I don't really know how that works. I mean, this hardware is so powerful that I don't understand how you're not going to be able to throw an emulator in there. Kind of in the same point, I've seen screenshots of an Xbox arcade that'll have retro games and things for moms and girlfriends, you know, like chess on the internet, checkers, stuff like that. And we had just talked about this a minute ago, but they did make a point of saying that its shape is supposed to appeal to the non-gamer and it's supposed to appeal to the Japanese. The Xbox was a pretty big failure in Japan because it was so huge, because I guess Japanese have smaller hands and they like things nice and small and tiny and sexy looking, and nobody bought it because they thought it was a huge monstrous machine. They were giving out some E3 faceplates. One of them sold on eBay.
Yeah.
One of them sold on eBay for $270, so the console isn't even out. It doesn't even exist, but some person paid almost $300 for a E3 faceplate.
I think it'd be awesome if Microsoft changed the layout of the Xbox before it shipped and the faceplate won't fit on it.
There wasn't playable Xbox 360 things running on Xbox 360 hardware. There was playable games that were running on emulated hardware, which was two G5 computers kind of linked together to do things in tandem. They were saying that that's only about half of the power that the Xbox 360 is going to have.
Next topic.
Nintendo needs to make a big E3 splash. I don't know that they did. They revealed the Revolution. Of the three systems, Xbox is furthest along, PlayStation is second, and Revolution is barely even on the map. The guy from Nintendo held up like a big square box. Very small, very tiny. They didn't show the controller at all, so nobody even knows what that's about. They are going to support all of Nintendo's back titles via emulation. So 20 years of Nintendo you can download and play. I do believe that those are going to be pay to play. I'm not really looking forward to paying to play Zelda again.
Well, they already released all those same titles on the Game Boy. Trying to release them again.
We got into this on the forums a little bit. The whole fact of more and more companies are just repackaging the same stuff. They'll add a shiny new button here or there, and they'll re-release it, and they'll want you to pay just as much for it the second or third time. time around. I think Nintendo does it more than other companies. They're showing the Game Boy Micro, which we're going to get to in a few minutes. And as Keith mentioned, you can download this content, but they're selling this content for $20 a pop on the Game Boy Advance. So then you're going to charge me again for it?
And then that's what Nintendo's been doing, because they're just getting beat everywhere else. They're going for a nostalgia value.
And I understand, you know, you have your markets, but if your market is handheld, maybe it's time to get out of the hardware and just concentrate on the games. A lot of the games that they make are pretty good, and they are pretty fun. Now, they're aimed a little bit more towards kids, but we've mentioned it a few times. Mario Kart is one of my favorite games of all time. You don't need hardware to do it. You could do a Mario Kart-style game on any other console, but I've said it before, I think this is going to be the last hurrah. If Nintendo fails now, they'll probably stick with the handheld stuff, but I would doubt them making another attempt at a console. They said it would be 2 to 3 times more powerful than the current GameCube. So in the age where we're talking about all these crazy specs for the Xbox and the PlayStation, one of the things they did say was graphics isn't everything, it's all about gameplay. I really appreciate what they're trying to go for, but if you have photorealistic movies and images and gameplay screens, bubbly, curvy Mario, I don't know if he's going to cut it. They made a couple statements that they're trying to create games for people who haven't played games but are curious about them. They're aiming it at the customers who hate clutter, and they find the current games and controllers to be confusing and difficult. I see kind of their point there. I mean, there's so many buttons on the PlayStation. I know, Ivan, every time you come over and we throw in one of the football games, it's frustrating because it's not just a couple buttons. You got to deal with all 8, 9, 10 of the buttons on the friggin' joystick. Each of them does something.
I got to say that out of the 3 console systems, I think the Nintendo GameCube controller is the most confusing of all of them. The other ones might have more buttons, but what the heck is up with the GameCube controller with 2 kind of analog sticks that are offset, and one of them has only like 8 points instead of, you know, full circle, and I don't know.
I agree with you. They have
just my opinion.
The thing, it's just a weird layout for a controller. Yeah. So if they're talking about ease, that's not exactly the easiest. And even with the Nintendo 64 controller, I didn't like that one either. With the triggers and things like that, it's just meh.
Meh.
One of the biggest problems I have with it in trying to play some of the fighting games is that those buttons are laid out in crazy positions and they're all different sizes. I tried to play Mortal Kombat and that giant, huge red button, which is the biggest of everything, you accidentally hit it all the time. You're trying to hit all these different buttons. You got this crazy little, everything's a different size. And maybe that works for easily displaying on the screen. You can color code the buttons. You can show the shape so that little kids or somebody's parents can say, all right, it's shaped like this. There it is, that lima bean shaped one right there. Midway CEO responded to that statement that people are finding these things confusing and difficult, that 18 to the 34-year-old is where it's at. These guys do want more mature, complex content. These people are mastering the games. They want a challenge. I think you need to go for casual gamers with certain game titles. I don't know if I necessarily agree with going for the casual gamer and the sister and the girlfriend to be the majority of your audience, because I don't think that's going to be the majority of your audience.
Next topic.
The other big thing at Nintendo that they showed was the Game Boy Micro. It's the Game Boy SP. The difference is that it's 4 inches by 2 inches and about a half inch thick. The screen is around a third of the size of the current SP screen. It doesn't fold up the way that the Game Boy SP does. It has adjustable brightness, adjustable faceplates. It will play Game Boy Advance games only. It won't play any of the old Game Boy games or Game Boy Color games. It's supposed to come out in the fall. They have not yet set a price.
I believe it also includes a normal headphone jack as opposed to you need a converter to plug in headphones.
The Game Boy SP, headphone jack aside, one of the best layouts that you could ever have in a handheld. It was small, the battery lasted friggin' forever. It folded up so you're not going to scratch or damage the screen. You could stick it easily in your pocket and not have to worry about it. It was pretty sturdy in that if you did have it in your back pocket and you sat on it, it wasn't going to get snapped in half. I don't see why they're doing the Game Boy Micro. I don't know anybody that would run out and buy it. A lot of people on our forums were excited about it, but
one thing that I think that they shouldn't be doing is making it smaller. I mean, imagine something 4 inches.
How would you even play that? That was...
I know have big honking gorilla hands, but even playing the Game Boy SP for more than an hour and a half or 2 hours, my hands just cramp up because it's small. I mean, I agree with you that the SP is probably the best handheld I've ever played as far as layout, the feeling, and all those cool options. You can stick in your pocket, not worry about it. The Micro might more easily fit in your pocket, but my God,
It's a 2-inch screen.
That's too small.
That's too small.
2 inches. That's like the size of somebody's pinky, right? I mean, 2 inches?
That's what she said at the picnic.
My pinky is 3 inches. I just measured it, so.
So it's, here's the podcast. We're all about stats. Stats, stats, stats. My pinky is 3 inches.
A lot of people are saying it does look like an old-school NES controller, which it kind of does. The NES controller was the thing that put blisters in the palms of your hands because of the way it was shaped. That was before ergonomics was a big important part.
It had corners.
Yeah. We'll wait and see. I don't necessarily agree with what they're doing, but hey, what do I know?
Next topic.
Nokia will start including the N-Gage platform in many of its new smartphones. The first half of next year, 2006, will be when these smartphones start coming out. So basically, they're going to get away from this one particular phone, the N-Gage, and they're going to expand it into a lot of the phones they make are also going to have the ability to support N-Gage games. I don't have a problem with this. I wasn't a fan of the Nokia N-Gage. Some of the people that I know that have a Nokia N-Gage played them.
No people that have the Nokia N-Gage?
Yeah, I mean,
wow.
Chris from Dream Station has a Nokia N-Gage. I've played it several times. The load times are very long. The graphics aren't really that good. It doesn't quite have the power to do 3D. The battery life isn't too swift at all. It was.
So what are the good points?
The games are cheap.
It's a phone, too.
It's a phone, yeah. I guess the online is pretty good. I know one of the reasons I think that Chris got it was because of something about the way it went online that his regular phone didn't
probably
do it.
Yeah, uses the phone.
No, I didn't mean to sound like a dick when I say that.
I know.
Yeah, you did a really good job, though.
And again, I know absolutely nothing about the N-Gage. For all I know, it uses up your wireless minutes to play online.
I know that the games have all super dropped in price. They're around $20, maybe $25. That's true.
Please buy this. Yeah. It is viable. It is.
I played King of Fighters, which is a 2D fighting game. Wasn't impressed at all. It was slow. It was choppy. It took a long time to load. It was a big pain.
You have to take the battery out of the phone to put a game in.
No, they changed. That was the old school. They have a second edition called the QD, which they've fixed some of this stuff.
Whatever.
If it's not your main thing and you're just going to throw it as an extra bonus into your phone and you're not going to charge a whole ton of money for it, cool. It's not going to hurt anything. Go for it.
Next topic.
For our review, we've played the iToy for the PlayStation 2. Now,
iToy.
This thing's come out quite some time ago. I actually got a free one from my boss at work. You guys come over on Saturday and we played the iToy. I just was going to show everyone the iToy and we wasted, like 4 or 5 hours playing with the iToy?
Four hours, yeah.
It was actually really cool. It's a little USB camera.
If you have a 3-year-old, I'd highly recommend buying this. It will keep them entertained for years.
If you have a 27-year-old, I'd highly recommend buying it. Keep you entertained for years. I don't know about that one. But.
The camera sits on somewhere. I put it on top. I got a widescreen TV. I threw it on top. It's got a focus so you can, you know, make sure you're the proper distance away. And it has settings inside of it so you can up the intensity of as far as how it captures movement. If you have to really move a lot for it to capture or not. You can also adjust it according to the ambient light in the room. You create profiles for yourself where you throw in your name and you take 3 pictures, a regular picture, a happy picture, and a sad picture. And of course, with a bunch of people, you got goofy. It was kind of funny. iToy come with a CD that had, I want to say, around 10 games in it. Some of them were horrible. Some of them were good. Some of the most fun ones were Kung Fu. You kind of stand in the middle of this camera, and it's got a silhouette of your body on the screen. And off to the left and the right are these tiered platforms that little ninjas jump out of. You seriously just throw your arm up and backhand one of them, and he'll go flying off the screen. And it gets more and more of these guys jumping at you, and they're throwing little onions at you. It sounds so stupid, but it was fun, and it was fun to play. Boxing could have been really cool.
Boxing could have been cool.
The other good one was the mirror image one. That one was a lot of fun.
Mirror image had these balls in each corner of the screen, the 4 corners of the screen, and they would either be red or green. Green, you got to touch those and make it pop. Red is if you touch it, you lose a life. I think you got like 3 or 4 lives. So it starts off, it lights up a couple of these. You know, you move your arms into the corners, and it would pop them. But after every level, it would switch some of the screen. Like, it might take the top half of the screen and mirror image it so that the bottom half is regular and the top half, your right is your left and vice versa. Once it got into flipping the screen, you know, where each quarter of the screen was a separate mirrored image of it, it was completely complicated and everybody was getting it wrong. So it was just funny to see people try and timidly stick their little arm out and wiggle it and just see, like, where is it showing up on the screen and then go the extra 2 inches to try and touch this little bomb and make it explode. It was pretty funny. And then, of course, everybody else is heckling you that you're an idiot and you don't know your your left from your right, and they have a window washing game where that's the one where you look like a complete fool because the whole screen is filled with like a white foamy sud, and you have to basically wave your arms and move your body around and try and clear the entire screen, and then you move on to the next window. I mean, that got old after 2 minutes, but it's funny watching people flail around like idiots trying to clear the screen off. It was all variations on the same thing. There was a soccer game where you bounce the soccer ball and you got to hit the monkeys sticking their heads out of the two apartments on the side.
Monkeys.
Yeah, everything was monkeys.
Just like our apartment.
Monkeys, ninjas, weird techno.
You can't go around with monkeys or ninjas,
That's
man.
That's very true. Monkeys, the only thing else you could have used was some pirates in there. That would have been...
Pirate, yeah.
Complete the trifecta. So
throwing a couple ham sandwiches and a couple midget clowns on unicorns or riding polar bears, you got yourself a hit movie.
I think if I was going to recommend the iToy for $50, I think it would depend on your audience. Like Bob had said, if you have kids under the age of maybe 12, I think it's worth the $50. There's a couple different rooms you can go into where it's basically just the camera and they throw effects on it. Some of them are just like, here's a bunch of balloons and when you touch them, they pop underwater. There's ones with spiders that cling to you, which, you know, I wouldn't recommend that one so much for a 4-year-old kid, but you could set up so...
Why not? It sounds like fun.
Unless you want them traumatized.
Lock the door, turn the lights off.
Okay, Billy, you're going to play with the spider pit again, yeah.
No! Not the spider pit!
There was one of those, like, every Tool video and Marilyn Manson video in The Ring where it would kind of stutter your movements. So if you just wiggle your head around, it looks really crazy and it looks like you're kind of demonically possessed. I would recommend it, like I said, if you have, you know, kids under 12 or if you could get it on sale for maybe $30 or less.
For $50?
It costs...
$50, I'd probably give it a 6. If it was $30, I'd give it an 8. That's too expensive for what it was. I mean, it's a lot of fun. I wouldn't pay $50 for it.
Little kids
Your kids
easily entertain...
This, yes.
They would entertain themselves for weeks with that thing.
Keith, what would you give it at $50?
I'd say a 6.5.
I'll stand by a 7, 7.5, though. I would... At $50, I think a 7, a 7.5 is a fair rating. So.
Next topic.
The only other thing that I was going to make a short and brief mention was that Star Wars Episode 3 didn't suck, but it wasn't great. $8, you might as well see it. You've seen the other five. You might as well see the sixth one. It was pretty cool. It was a lot of action. I wasn't bored while watching it, although I didn't.
It didn't hurt to watch like the second one.
Yes.
It was entertaining, but it wasn't spectacular in any way, shape, or form.
Go with friends and enjoy making fun of the parts that deserve being made fun of, and you'll probably be entertained.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert here. Anakin becomes Darth Vader.
Oh, no!
I didn't mean to ruin the movie for everyone. You have been listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. Thank you very much for listening. Please remember to check out www.dreamstation.cc for news, forums, podcast feeds, RSS feeds, and all your video gaming news. Also, once again, if you wouldn't mind voting for us on podcastalley.com. If you have any comments, suggestions, feedback, you want to flame us, you can send email to videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. And either way, we thank you guys for listening and hope you'll come back same time next week. Anybody else got anything?
No.
Bye-bye.